The Big Easy welcomes Zion. Boy, did David Griffin have his fingerprints all over this one. We'll break it down on a draft night that everyone gave the Pels an A-plus rating. It's a busy weekend for LSU football. We'll get the very latest in recruiting and much, much more. But that Zion, the Big Easy. New Orleans gets its guy, and New Orleans loves its guys. Today, Friday, June 21st, 2019.
Tried to get the bat going. The 0-1 drilled out to deep right field. Calhoun going back. He turns around. It's gone! Welcome back, Billy McKinney! He drives it out of the yard with a go-ahead, game-winning, two-run home run! Right-hander delivers. Swinging a high drive to left center field deep, sending Bruce back on the run to the warning track, looking up, and it is gone! Victor Robles, a three-run homer into the Phillies bullpen. That's home run number 11 for Robles, a three-run smash, and the Nationals lead it 7-3.
You know, you can hear people say things like, oh, that it was likely that I was going to go number one, but I guess you don't know until you actually go through it. You know, hearing my name called, I was able to make it on stage without a tear, shake the commissioner's hand. But in the interview, when my mom was standing beside me, my emotions just took over.
Yes, indeed. New Orleans got its guy. And New Orleans loves its guys. And Zion Williamson, when he closed up and they said, anything you want to say to the city of New Orleans? In grand fashion. New Orleans, let's dance. Oh, do you think they went crazy in the Big Easy? Yes, they did. And around 3 o'clock this afternoon, Zion will meet with the media. He is being flown into the Crescent City as they do after draft night. They introduce them. They get them used to the facilities. They put them up with a realtor, and they figure out where he wants to live. There's a lot of things that have to go. His life has changed, and he's got a thick wallet to deal with it coming up. So it's a spectacular night, and we'll delve into the NBA draft for the New Orleans Pelicans. As far as LSU's concerned, Tremont Waters goes number 51 to the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens has worked with small guards. He's gotten them some really, really good success. Isaiah Thomas, right? It's about 2 hours from his hometown. Tremont Waters very skilled on the offensive side with his creativity and shot-making ability. So I think he went to the perfect team. Naz Reid doesn't get drafted but gets scooped up immediately by the Minnesota Timberwolves on a two-way contract, which means he's going to spend most of the year in the G League. Nothing wrong with that. He'll spend a maximum of 45 days up with the big league team. Look, he's only, 19 years old, all right? He's 6'10". He's got a 7'3 wingspan. He's big. He is fluid. But he's got to work on his explosiveness. He's got to get some professional training, get into the professional world, and I think it will be much, much better for him. But let's make no mistake about this thing. This was all about David Griffin, and he had his fingerprints on this thing from the get-go. He acquired picks number 8, number 17, and number 35 from Atlanta in exchange for number 4 and some pieces. So we know about Zion. At number 8, they take the big center, Jackson Hayes from Texas, who gives the Pelicans a high kind of upside center with some athleticism and rim protection. Is he big enough? Is he strong enough? Is he skilled enough yet? I really loved the pick at 17 with Nickell Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech. He gives you shooting. He gives you backcourt flexibility. You know he's tough defensively because he played in that system. And I think that's a great, great pickup for them. Marcos Luzada Silva is another wing who can shoot it. Doesn't have much experience against elite competition. But look, it's all about Zion and the excitement that he brings to this city. He's got the Magic Johnson smile, a body bigger than LeBron James. He's left-handed, he's skilled, and his dream has come true. And we'll hear from Zion shortly on his thoughts. But not only did they get well in the draft, they got rid of that Solomon Hill bad, bad contract. Frees up a lot of money. And as Adrian Wojnarowski had to say, the future is bright even in free agency this season for the Pelicans.
And not just those assets. It's clearing the cap space. They were able to get Solomon Hill and that $12.5 million off the books. Now the Pelicans are a player in free agency. They will have upwards of perhaps $30 million to go out and pursue. They could pursue a max free agent. I don't know that they're in that they might be in the game for any of them. If they wanted to go after Al Horford, they could do that. But they want, I think the ability to draft Zion Williamson changed how New Orleans was going to do this post-Anthony Davis rebuild. That they, with him in the middle of this, they could keep Drew Holiday, an all-star level guard there. They get two starters in Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and you bring another free agent into that group. This is a playoff team in the West.
Say it again, Woj. A playoff team in the West. Normally, you lose a franchise player. Look at Cleveland, for instance. They lose LeBron James. He goes to Miami. Cleveland falls off the face of the earth. They're totally, totally irrelevant. He goes back. He leaves for L.A. They're totally, totally irrelevant. Pelicans lose Anthony Davis, and they may be better. In fact, I think they will be better than they were. Now, that so much is predicated upon Zion Williamson fulfilling the expectations. But goodness gracious sakes alive. What a haul. What a coup. And we'll talk all about it. In the College World Series, we've got four teams left in it. And Texas Tech and Michigan are playing right now. It's the bottom of the second. Texas Tech and Michigan are tied at 3 apiece. But the bases are loaded for the Wolverines with only one out there. Later on this evening, Vanderbilt versus Louisville. Louisville put Mississippi State to bed and said goodbye and go home. Those four teams still battling out two will make it to the College World Series finals where they'll play the best two out of three. Dallas Keuchel makes his Braves debut tonight versus the Washington Nationals. Yes, indeed. And Rick Pitino says no to a Greek team that he led to the championship. And he says he wants to come back to the NBA, either as a coach or as an executive or as a player development. He wants to be in the NBA. How about them apples? So we've got that. It's a busy day of recruiting over the weekend for LSU. They've got their offensive and defensive line skill camps going on. They've got their elite team camp coming on. They've issued out congratulations to Jamie Howard's son, Walker Howard. Just a young stud, young little pup, right? Young little pup. Class of 2022 already received a offer from LSU. And in the class of 2021, Luke Altmaier of Starkville, Mississippi, also received an offer for a scholarship. Athlon Sports released its college football 2019 All-American teams. And they included safety Grant Delpit on the first team, cornerback Christian Fulton on the second. Yes, indeed. And you can add another LSU track star to the list of the Bowerman finalists, this time on the female side, Jakari Richardson. Now on the male side, Mondo Duplantis, who's pole vaulting over there in Europe and doing quite, quite well. All right, we'll take our first time out of the day. We're brought to you each and every day by Hooters. Hooters right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Newly renovated. It's fantastic. The food's great. All the television sets you could ever want to see every sporting event you could ever imagine and then some. Hooters just makes you happy. Go check it out. Have some fun. Watch the ball games. Bring the whole family. Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Specials go on each and every day. Happy hour each and every day. And the wings, oh, to die for. We'll take a timeout. We'll hear from Zion Williamson. We'll hear from David Griffin. What a night it was in the Big Easy. Oh, my goodness. Basketball relevant again in New Orleans. We'll be right back.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
I got a feeling it's going to be a really good year. The Saints, the Tigers, I think the Raging Cajuns are sliding upward as well on the football field, and I think the Pelicans are going to be growing better and bigger and than ever with exciting days yet to come. I think it's going to be great. I got a feeling. I really, really do. We're just 71 days away from the LSU season opener. 71, that's like a cough, a hiccup, and then there it is. So exciting times ahead. I think it's going to be a great year. So much excitement. We'll talk with Jeff Duncan, who has been in the Crescent City for a while, does a tremendous job for NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. We'll get his thoughts on the Zion factor and the buzz in the city. If you didn't see Fulton Street last night for the Pelicans block party, holy smoly, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. But before we go much further, David Griffin, who's done a tremendous job since he's taken over the basketball side of the franchise. And thank goodness they made the hire, and thank goodness they're letting him do what he does. He was very cautious in talking about Zion Williamson. He talked about he is no savior, at least not yet.
Look, this is not somebody who's supposed to be the savior of this franchise. That's not what this is. This is a 19-year-old kid who's going to spend this year learning how to play winning NBA basketball. And everything that we're doing from now until the end of our time here as a franchise is going to be about long-term sustainable success.
Long-term sustainable success, not for just the here and now, but for the here, the now, and the later. Griffin was quick to surmise whose team this Pelicans group belong to.
This is Drew Holiday's team. And when we made the team, the trade that we made, or are working to complete, rather, with a certain player who used to be here with Drew, we were very cognizant of the fact that this is Drew Holiday's team. And from the moment I got here on the ground, the very first conversation I had with him, I challenged him, and he has responded to it every step along the way.
Challenged him every step along the way. I'm all in. Make no mistake about it, though. David Griffin said what Zion wants more than anything.
Zion is going to be part of learning how to win at a really high level. And at some point, if there's a time that the baton gets passed in terms of who's expected to carry us to win games, it will. That's not now. This is a 19-year-old kid. So we're going to take time with this, and it's not going to be something where I want people to just expect this is instantaneous. You know, it's amazing when you see him. He's got this just magnetic personality, and he makes everybody see such star quality that you immediately say, he's the one, he's the one. He's the one because all he wants to do is win basketball games. Zion Williamson does not give a damn how many stats he puts up. He doesn't care about any individual awards. All he wants to do is win basketball games. That's all Drew Holiday wants to do. It's all anybody that we're going to invest in deeply here wants to do.
And that is what you call a winning formula. When you put the team before the me, that's when you reach success. But somebody has to be the lead dog. Somebody has to be the leading scorer. Somebody has to be the leading rebounder. Somebody has to be the assist guy. Somebody has to be the rim protector. But when they all put their own interests aside and work together in unison, that's when you have a championship. That's when you have a great team. And it all starts with Zion, who, you know, he was watching TV when he was a young kid, and he was watching Kobe play and watching LeBron play, and he was going, man, these guys, they get paid to do this? Dad, this is what I want to do. And Zion never thought he'd really be in the position that he's in today.
I didn't think I'd be in this position. My mom sacrificed a lot for me. I wouldn't be here without my mom. She did everything for me. I just want to thank her.
Thank her. More about his mother in only the ways that he could say it.
She put her dreams aside for mine. She always looked out for the family first and worst. So,
you know, it's amazing. Everybody told him, and he knew, and everybody around him knew that he was going to be the number one pick, and knew that for months on end. Isn't it just amazing that at the time, in the moment, that happens to you? And not to talk about myself, because but I remember getting inducted into my high school Hall of Fame, and I knew about it for months. And I got up there, and you start thinking about all the people that helped you and guided you and sacrificed for you, even on just that level, And you just can't help it. You get emotional. You got a soul. You got a heart that ticks. And he just made an endearing presence, an endearing way about him with everyone in the Crescent City. They were asking, as a young freshman, newcomer, rookie, can you really take a leadership role?
Yeah, I see myself trying to step into a leadership role. But I think by doing that, I have to also, like, understand my teammates and understand where their heads are at. Because I think if you're not on the same page, then things don't usually go well. So I think it's just a matter of us coming together, making the same goals, and just willing to win. I think we can do something special.
Willing to win, do something special. That is awesome. Now, he doesn't know this roster from a man in the moon. But with a guy that's the Incredible Hulk of basketball, we've never seen a player quite like Williamson, a special talent. But forget about just that. He's worth all the hype. He'll be worth that in many millions of dollars to the New Orleans Pelicans. That franchise just went from one value to another, just on jersey sales, season ticket sales, all the concession sales that will go along with it. They lose Anthony Davis and immediately gain a new face of the franchise. I mean, it's just remarkable what happened there. And Zion Williamson was asked, what is he like about the lineup of the Pels?
The fact that they're young and, you know, like, they're close to my age, so they can, like, help me a lot more, like, with how to deal with this transition. And, I mean, I think we can build something over there.
Build something over there. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about, building things. And you got to have a stepping stone, right? You got to have it. And they do. Now, as they go further on down the draft, they make the trade with the Atlanta Hawks, and they get the 8th pick in the draft. And this was Jackson Hayes, the center. You know, he doesn't have shooting. And that's a little bit of a problem around Zion Williamson. He's got a lot of things. He's got an upside through the roof. He's a rim protector. He's a dunker. But he's not your typical center in modern basketball with being able to come outside and shoot the basketball. He's not. So he's a liability there, but he is a project, something you can't coach size. Either you have it or you don't have it, and you move on from there. At number 17, the Pelicans made a pick as part of a trade with the Hawks, and they picked up shooting guard Nickeil Alexander-Walker from Virginia Tech. He checks a lot of boxes. He does a lot of things well. He can shoot the basketball. He played for Buzz Williams, so you know he's going to be sound and on the defensive side as well. You need shooters. He's going to have that opportunity to come off the bench and shoot the basketball. So he fits the Pelicans' needs next to Zion Williamson, and I think that is a great pick as well. I really do. I was more excited about that one than the Hayes pick because you got to be able to put the ball in the basket. And Hayes is just a dunker, and he'll give you a few minutes here and there. He'll block a shot. He'll goaltend a shot and do things like that. But overall, I think at 32 was good. Now, at 35, Marcos Luzada Silva out of Brazil. He's a productive three-point shooter with some upside. He could be a productive wing. He's got to have to be a developmental player. So expect for him to be in the G League and spend a little time with the big league club and so forth and so on. But overall, if you go across the board and you ask all those that follow this thing closely, everyone gave the Pelicans an A grade, if not better. The only other team that matched them was Memphis, who did a nice job as well. So overall, a great night. And with that in mind, coming up, we'll talk to noted New Orleans historian of sport, Jeff Duncan. What does this mean? How much of a factor is Zion Williamson going to be? And, I mean, David Griffin is doing to the Pelicans what Mickey Loomis and his staff have done for the Saints. They have drafted wisely. They have spent economically. And they have built this. They're building their franchises in the same direction for sustained success. Saints got Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Pelicans now have Zion Williamson, David Griffin, little Alvin Gentry. Can they go in the same meteoric rise as the Saints did? That's the big question. And we'll discuss that next with Jeff Duncan here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
Whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
Hey, welcome back. Friday edition. Still reveling in the draft of the New Orleans Pelicans. And Zion Williamson's message to his hometown, his new hometown, shortly after being drafted as the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, he said to New Orleans, "Let's dance." Oh, my God. He's one of us already. Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, The Times-Picayune, and others kind enough to join us. I mean, Jeff, he couldn't have said anything better, could he?
No, I think that resonated pretty well, Jordy. I don't think he knows who he is. I'm just guessing.
You've been around the block or two. I mean, I was in New Orleans when Pistol Pete came over from the Atlanta Hawks, and there was a surge of enthusiasm for basketball. I've never seen anything quite like this. Where does this one stand with you?
Yeah, look, it's similar to Ricky Williams in 99 and Reggie Bush in 2006, and those are obviously Saints players, but this dwarfs anything as far as basketball certainly in a modern era. I wasn't around when Pete Maravich joined the Jazz, but I've never seen anything quite like it. I think it speaks volumes to the kid himself. I mean, he's just such a genuinely earnest young man, and I think people can see that when he speaks. He's kind of a selfless hero, and those are rare these days, especially coming out of the American basketball system. I mean, these kids get involved at such a young age. They're pointed to the NBA at an early age. They all have their own website, their own Instagram, social media accounts, right? And anybody could have had this sense of entitlement. It's Zion Williamson with his incredibly large following, but he's the exact opposite of it. And I think that's why people have gravitated toward him and why New Orleans has already embraced him.
I kind of wonder, this is one of the reasons why I called you, across the street from Dave Dixon Drive is you see how the Saints have built their organization. You've seen how they've utilized the draft. You've seen how they've utilized free agency. And they've had this sustained success ever since Drew Brees, Sean Payton hopped on board with Mickey Loomis. There have been some bumps in the road, but most of all, it has been a long, sustained success unlike anything that franchise had ever seen before. It seemed to be with a solid foundation. For the first time since the Charlotte Hornets broke up and they moved, George Shinn moved that franchise to New Orleans, it seems to me that for the first time there's a solid foundation. And I'm just kind of curious as to what correlations you see between the two entities all owned by the same ownership group.
Great observation, Jordy, and I would wholeheartedly agree. David Griffin has got a lot of Mickey Loomis in him. He's a big picture thinker, a long-term visionary. And what he's trying to do here is, like, everything for him changed when they got Zion Williamson. They had a long-term plan to rebuild this franchise, and all of a sudden, this phenom lands in their lap. I mean, arguably the top draft prospect in the last decade in college basketball, one of the tops in the last 25 years.
Yes.
And now, you've got to change your entire game plan because this is a rare talent. As David Griffin said yesterday, he's been touched by the hand of God to play basketball. I think the other quote of that was he's a population of one. And he's just a unique player. And this kid, you can build a franchise around. You got to do it the right way now. Now they've got the elite talent. Drew Holiday, they feel like one of the top two-way guards in the league, a perfect mentor to teach Zion Williamson how to win, how to play this game, how to be a pro. So they're going to build around those two guys. They've got a lot of other pieces now. Obviously, the Lakers trade brought Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. They've still got Etuan Moore, the role player. They re-signed Jahlil Okafor. They've got the other draft picks. And I don't think he's anywhere close to being done. I think he's going to add more to the kitty. I think he's going to add some veteran guys with pedigrees that know how to win. Very much like a Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor has not panned out like everyone expected when he was the number two overall pick in the draft. But if you're around him, he gets it, Jordy, and he understands what the game's about. I think we're going to look for a lot of guys with that kind of mentality because they've got the elite player now. They've got the elite talent. Now they can just fill in with role players and see how it works. I mean, nothing's going to happen overnight. I think this first year is going to be a lot of fun to watch. But I also think David Griffin's going to be doing a lot of evaluating because he knows they've got – superstar now that they can build for long term.
And look, there was no Fulton Street when Anthony Davis was being picked number one. There was no big hoopla when Chris Paul came at number four. I've never seen anything like Fulton Street was last night with the thousands of new basketball fans that gravitated there and just had a big old block party.
Yeah, what an incredible scene, right? I think it's exciting for basketball fans in the state of Louisiana. Like, you and I are among that. I mean, we love basketball. We love to see regular playoff basketball. It's great to see LSU with the men's program under Will Wade back in the mix of NCAA tournament. You know, that should be the norm here. And I think we have to give a lot of credit to Gail Benson and the management of the Pelicans for doing this thing the right way. You know, they went out, they knew this was a critical hire, and they leaned heavily on Adam Silver's advice. They knew they needed to get this hire right for the long term. And Silver recommended Mike Ford, one of the top headhunters in the business. He brings back arguably the best set of candidates of any team in the league. And David Griffin at the top of that list, the guy that's turned down the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers, he's not going to sign up for something unless he felt good about the long-term stability and the foundation of the organization. And I think that's a testament to Gail Benson and what they're doing there.
It is amazing. Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. And I just, I just see so many good days ahead. Like you said, it's not going to be overnight, but I'm really curious with close to 30, I don't know exactly what the dollar amount is, close to $30 million that they can spend. How does David Griffin use that? And who does he bring in? Because in modern basketball, boy, you better have shooters. Or else you're wasting your time. So I'm very, very, very curious when free agency opens up very soon. What happens there? And it's just like the summer of the Pelicans. It's great for us. We have something to talk about.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. I don't know if I've ever seen a franchise in any sport turn around as quickly. The fortunes turn around as quickly as the Pelicans did. Getting Zion Williamson just changed everything. And the haul that David Griffin was able to extract from the Lakers when he really had very little, leverage there. And he was able to get a great deal. All told, it could end up being 8 former, current, or future first-round draft picks. That's insane what he's been able to turn that deal into.
You called it the Herschel Walker trade of the NBA.
Well, it feels that way to me. Now they've got to make it work, right? They've got to turn that thing around and get a positive return on that investment. But what it gives them, Jordy, is it gives them options. It gives them assets. So, they might not use and probably will not use all those draft picks, but now they can use that trade parcel to acquire maybe a veteran player. You mentioned shooters earlier. There's no doubt David Griffin's going to find one or more shooters in free agency. I think he's going to try and find another veteran big man. But they could use a guy, say like a Danny Green, a heady veteran role player that's got a sharpshooter from behind the three-point line that can park out there and spread the floor when Drew Holiday and Zion Williamson are working their magic in the lane trying to slash to the basket. They're going to have somebody out there that can keep that floor spread for them to operate inside.
I look back and I think of what the Pelicans or the Hornets got then for the Chris Paul trade compared to what the Pelicans got for Anthony Davis. I mean, Eric Gordon, all right, Chris Kaman, Al Farouk Aminu, he's up one day, down the next, got a first-round pick. I think it was Doc Rivers' son, Austin, I believe, was the pick. Boy, what a difference some bright minds can do, right?
Yeah, I think if you're a Pelicans fan, you just have to have faith that this front office regime is going to make the most of these assets. A lot of people pushed back on social media at me yesterday about that, saying that draft picks don't matter in the NBA, which is foolish. Of course they matter.
It's foolish.
Every player in the league just about got drafted. I don't know where those mentalities come from, but the point is they are right in that if you don't make the most of them, if you don't have good talent evaluators, you don't have good people in your personnel department, it can be a waste. But you have to have faith that David Griffin's going to bring in the right people. He's got Trajan Langdon, who's very well thought of in NBA circles for his scouting acumen, and I think they're going to continue to work on that front office and scouting department going forward. So, again, as I said earlier, this thing's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. I think this team's going to be must-see TV in the NBA You know, they're going to be wide open in Alvin Gentry's offense, getting up and down the court, a lot of young athletes. But they're a long way from being, you know, a title contender of any means, maybe even a playoff contender at that. But, you know, they're just getting started, as David Griffin said. And I'd say it's going to be a 2 or 3 year build, much the same way the Celtics were when Danny Ainge made that huge trade with the Nets and got that windfall of assets, and it took him about 3 or 4 years to get back into the championship hunt.
Look, to kind of sum it all up, I mean, we can all have disdain for Rich Paul, but if I hired Rich Paul as my agent, Rich Paul did exactly what Anthony Davis wanted him to do, or what Anthony Davis was told he should do, right? I mean, he went out and said, okay, Boston, if you want him, that's fine. It's going to be 1 year, because then he's going to be a free agent. They wanted him in L.A. They got him in L.A., and they're a winner. But then because of the lack of maybe there weren't that many other teams involved in this thing, but Griff still got so much more than maybe others could get from the Lakers, who were desperate to make a deal.
Well, I think he knew that the Lakers had to make the deal. I mean, LeBron James is 34. He's going to turn 35 in December. He's not going to wait around another year of rebuilding. He wants to win now. He's a huge voice in that organization. We all know that. Rob Pelinka is under fire right now. There's a lot of pressure on him to swing a deal. So David Griffin took advantage of that. He had ultimate leverage with the Lakers. But there was very little market otherwise out there, because Rich Paul basically forced everybody to understand that Anthony Davis wanted to go to the Lakers and ultimately ended up there. So I think it was a brilliant move by David Griffin to be able to get what he got. And look, they got a couple of the young assets. I'm a lot more bullish on Lonzo Ball than a lot of people are. I mean, I know he gets a bad rap for his father's antics, but I think this kid is a winner. I think in the right culture, where he's not, you know, under the microscope and can be just another guy in the offense, I think he can really turn into something special. So I'm really eager to see how he plays with Zion Williamson in this open, fast-paced offense without his entry.
It's hard to be a point guard and play with LeBron James, because LeBron James has the ball. Well, he's going to have the ball now, and he's going to be told, push it, find open people. I think he's going to be terrific.
Well, and here's the other thing, Jordy, and we haven't talked about this, but how is Anthony Davis going to adapt to playing with LeBron James? I don't know if anybody's thought about this. You know, AD is not going to be the same AD we saw in New Orleans. When he's going to be playing off LeBron James, I think there's going to be some growing pains there. I hope everything works out for him. My dealings with Anthony Davis here were always positive, and I think ultimately both sides can come out of this, you know, in a good light. But I still think there's a lot of questions with how that's going to play out in Los Angeles.
Jeff Duncan, kind enough to join us quickly. No, we have time. What the heck? It's a Friday. Don't you think that they should sit Zion Williamson down with Drew Brees and let those two get to know one another, talk a little bit, and let Drew Brees share some insight on the city and how he's so beloved because he's so involved in the city. He's like, you know, he's a superstar, he's a Hall of Famer, but if everybody feels like he's one of us. And if Zion can learn a little bit of that, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's a great point. I bet they will at some point have a conversation. But the thing that I've really been impressed with about Zion Williamson is his maturity for a young man his age. He's going to be 19 here, not too far away. But his parents clearly raised him right. His mother, his stepfather, he has a tight inner circle. You know, we mentioned earlier the incredible following he has in social media. It would be easy for a young man to get ahead of himself, to get full of himself. And his parents have not let that happen. I've got friends that have covered him at Duke that speak so highly of him, not as just a basketball player, but as a person. And they've seen the creme de la creme come through Duke, from Kyrie Irving to Jason Tatum to Jahlil Okafor. I mean, there's been so many great players. And they say that this kid is the real deal, and everyone in New Orleans is going to really fall in love with him once he gets to town. They get the chance to know him.
And I can honestly say that he has made basketball in the Crescent City and around the country People will follow the Pelicans. He's made them relevant, and that's not easy to do as a 19-year-old, but he's made them relevant, and they're going to be watched, and they're going to be on every highlight reel, and that just bodes so great for the city that we love.
So true. And that's very difficult to do in this football crazy environment we are, but there's room enough for the NBA.
Absolutely.
For, you know, for a great basketball team here. And you could see it last night on Polk Street. People are starving. There's a different fan that follows the NBA, Jordy. You know that. I mean, it's a young demographic, and there's a lot of young millennial fans here in New Orleans that moved here from across the country in the last decade. And that's who goes to the Pelican game by and large. And I think right now this thing's getting ready to blow up and take off. And it's going to be fun to watch over the next few years.
Man, thanks for spending time with us. It's always great to talk to someone who really gets it and knows that city, knows the pulse of it. We greatly appreciate it, and so do the listeners. So thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too, Jordy. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk again soon, buddy.
I look forward to it, as always. Jeff Duncan, one of the best in the business anywhere. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, set the stage for hour number two after this timeout. The Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back. 54 minutes after the hour. It's Friday. Hope you're having a great one. Getting ready for a fun weekend. Yes, indeed. The LSU's busy. They're having their elite prospect camp as we speak. Jimmy Smith from Tiger Details will be joining us to talk about that in hour number two. So a lot of talent on the field. LSU trying to get them. They got 20 commitments already. A year ago at this time, LSU had 13 commitments, and they were ranked like number 10 in the country. And everybody's kind of going, ooh, I don't know, cool, man, I don't know. Well, LSU had that really good season last year, right? They won more games than people anticipated. Ed Orgeron's off the hot seat. They win a bowl game. They finished number 6 in the country. Their national brand has gone bigger and better. So now, as compared to a year ago when they had 13 commitments, they now have 20 commitments, and they're currently number 3 in the country behind Clemson and Alabama. So the question is, how is LSU going to fill its remaining 5 spots if they keep all of those commitments? Remember, there's 6 months to go before the early signing period. So a lot of things can change. What players want now, they want even the commitments. They want to be recruited as though they weren't commitments. You gotta keep in there. You gotta keep telling them you're the best thing since sliced bread. You gotta stay on it. If you lose a day on that, you're gonna lose a commitment. You gotta stay on them. Too many times we hear and see, they put their sights on these other guys trying to fill the class and they forgot about me. Well, you can't. You can't do that. And I know Coach O knows that. I know he won't let that happen. They're trying to – their goal is to get 25 commitments in tow and all signed in the early signing period. I really believe that. They've got enough national prospects that they believe in that they can do so. That would be the ultimate goal. Get your whole class over and done with, and then you really start working on the next class even harder than you would have. That would be the goal. We'll talk to Jimmy Smith about that. Hour number two coming up. Hot topics, Jimmy Smith, a little this, a little that with George Becknell, some on this day in history, and some birthday wishes. Hour number two coming your way. The Jordy Helfert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number two of two on this Friday, June 21st, and away we go. What a draft it was for the New Orleans Pelicans. All you had to do was stop at number one. You get Zion Williamson, and the rest is history. We'll see what David Griffin has to up his sleeves from here. But right now, as we speak, Zion being introduced to the city, being introduced to the local media, and then he'll be taken for the tours, see everything, do everything, and have another great meal. Where he'll go this time, your guess is as good as mine, but it won't be Commander's Palace again. He's been there, done that. There's only about 9 million other restaurants that you can go to and partake in the Crescent City. So good luck. Good luck on that one. But anyway, busy second hour planned for you and yours. And as we do each and every day at this time of day, we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. So CD, hit that button, please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five,
one, two, three, four, five
big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
What's up, big guy? How are you today, man?
I am doing fantastic, Jordy. It's a great time to be a fan of the New Orleans Pelicans right about now. If you aren't already on the bandwagon, jump on it, baby. It is just, it's some fantastic stuff right now.
It's a fun time. It's there's no reason, and I've always said this, there's no reason why every sport at LSU shouldn't compete for championships, and there's no reason why the Saints and the Pelicans can't be relevant and be title contenders in their respective sports. And there's no reason whatsoever, and I'm thrilled for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm thrilled for it as well, Jordy. Just the way everything was just so hype whenever they showed kind of the live shots from New Orleans. Party Marty out there, like crowd surfing. That was just straight up amazing that actually happened on live television. Party Marty getting a little crowd surfing in NOLA. But man, Jordy, you know, just give me your grade right now for the Pelicans and what they did with this draft.
Oh, I give them an A+. You got a transcendent play. I don't care what happened the rest of the day. I really don't. You got a player of that magnitude, of that impact. And forget about what he does on the court. What he has brought as far as energy, excitement, enthusiasm. He's just taken the value of that franchise and upped it significantly because they're relevant now. And the whole world will be watching the New Orleans Pelicans. When could you say that before? So it's
not many
a tremendous
times.
Day. I give it an A+.
I have to give it an A+ as well, Jordy, because I think they nailed it. But I think the biggest thing of it all is not only did they nail it with that number one pick, I feel like they nailed it with everything else that they did on that particular night, especially getting rid of that number four pick. And also, more importantly, getting rid of Solomon Hill and that ridiculously overpaid contract.
Yes.
It feels like your boy David Griffin is out there playing three-dimensional chess and everybody out there playing checkers.
That's well said, well put. He is remarkable that he did that. Now they've got that money, about close to $30 million. What's he going to do with that war chest? How's he gonna play with it? What's he going to bring in? I can't wait till free agency now because he is far, far from done.
Oh, exactly, Jordy. And it got me like $31 million is apparently how much cap space they have now that they've gotten rid of the extremely bloated contract of one Solomon Hill. Where do you think they could wind up going, Jordy? Because it feels like, you know, they've got a lot of weapons now in terms of just talent. And who could they wind up getting to join into the fold? Because it feels like right now, the only big name is Kawhi Leonard. Julius Randle kind of a 1B with the Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson thing, kind of putting a kibosh on their free agency plans. At least right now, Jordy, it feels pretty wide open.
you know, there is that superstar thing is not going to come here. And I don't think David Griffin wants that. I think he wants this to be, you know, he says it's Drew Holiday's team. And but let's face it, this is the face of the franchise is Zion Williamson. So you don't, I think he needs some, look, you can get two good players, 15 mil a piece, two good shooters at that price. I fill it up with guys that can fill it up is what I do. Maybe get another a proven rim protector. I like Julius Okafor and what he brings. I'm not sure if Jackson Hayes is going to be ready for this yet, but I get shooters. I mean, you see what it takes to win in modern basketball. You got to have guys that can put the ball in the basket. Zion's going to attract enough attention. Drew Holiday will attract enough attention. They got to have guys that can catch it and shoot it. So scour those channels and get me two drop-dead shooters, one about 6'8", 6'9", or even a, heck, even a maybe a Gasol at center that can shoot from outside and they can pass it, and then get me a 6'6", 6'7", wing that can shoot it, and I'm all in. That would be my suggestion.
I'd kind of be in agreement with that one, Jordy. That's a strong take right there from you on this Friday afternoon. And I think the Pelicans wound up having a lot of fun on Twitter recently looking at the Carolina Panthers. They wound up giving a little congratulations and good luck to Zion Williamson as he makes his way to New Orleans with the phrase, rooted in the Carolinas. But the Pelicans responded in the best way possible. You know you guys have an NBA team in your city. They had a strong draft last night, and yet no tweet to them. No response from the Panthers.
No response from the Panthers. There you go. Typical. Typical. Yeah,
exactly. Just try and latch on to anything New Orleans, right? You know, you definitely kind of deal with that.
You can't beat them, join them, right? You can't beat them, join them.
Exactly. Come on.
Falcons, Panthers. Yep. You know who had a really good draft? The Memphis Grizzlies.
The Memphis Grizzlies really
they did. They did very well.
I mean, it's a lot like what the Pelicans did. All you had to do was draft Ja Morant. Honestly, I feel like you did that, and everything would start falling into place. And obviously, you kind of got rid of some of the other kind of – you got rid of Mike Conley. I think that's a huge step in the right direction for this franchise. And Ja Morant being the lead bull, that's going to be awesome stuff to see.
Yeah, I like the job that they did. I really do. I just feel if I am a New York Knicks fan, I'm like, again? Here we go again? So, look, I'm thrilled. Zion makes the Pelicans relevant.
It really does,
Jordan.
That
is so good. So good. And I'm looking forward to it.
Hopping over, looking over at, obviously, I think another thing that we need to talk about is Tremont Waters getting drafted late last night. Heading into it, Jordy, it felt like we were all going to talk about Nasri getting drafted before Tremont Waters wound up getting called in the NBA draft. However, it's flipped over. Tremont gets his name called. No other LSU Tiger got drafted. This is the first time since 2016 a LSU Tiger was picked in the NBA draft. And Jordan, you know, what do you think is likelihood in terms of Tremont Waters? He's a late second round pick of him trying to crack that roster, crack that main roster, because it feels like he could be in the G League for a minute.
I think he can make it. I do. I think he brings some skill set that that Brad Stevens, who has worked with small guards in the past, like Isaiah Thomas, I think he'll be fine. Nasri, very limited in what he can do. Doesn't have the athleticism, the explosiveness that you want. But here's a guy that he's going to spend a lot of time in the G League. I just think that Naz didn't want to go to school. And that's fine. That's fine. He'll make a decent living. If he doesn't like it in the NBA circuits, he'll go play over in Europe. But he's got size, and that's always a hot commodity. But he's got to learn how to play the game, and a lot of it had to do with the preconceived attitude issues with Naz. Was he playing hard all the time? And that's, you know, once you get that rep, people shy away from it. So I wish him nothing but the best. He's with Minnesota on a two-way deal, so he'll spend a lot of time in the G League, up to a maximum of 45 days with the big club, and we'll see if he can make it. But there's been a lot of players like that come from LSU to go to the league. Johnny O'Brien, where's he now?
I couldn't tell you.
Kind of fits that. You kind of get that feel, don't you?
you really do. You need to get that feel, and like pretty much right away, I feel like you need to be able to show the team what you're worth, especially with a team like the Boston Celtics that feels like they could be on a rebuild in the not-too-distant future with Kyrie Irving gone, Aaron Baines, he's out the door. You can probably see a lot of more guys out down the line. It just feels like they could be on the verge of a rebuild in the not-too-distant future.
You're right. When Durant got hurt, Klay Thompson got hurt, but particularly Durant, when he got hurt, that just jumbled up everything. That just put a kibosh on everything. Who knows where free agency is going to go? All I know is we got Zion, and that's a great start. And there's the end of Hot Topics for the day and for the week. Thank you, CD. That always brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Get you some Cajun Chef Hot Sauce and bring it with you wherever you go, because everything. I like it on my scrambled eggs. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. LSU recruiting news next on the Jordy Hultberg Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Hard to believe just 71 days from now, LSU will have their season opener. 71 days. That's it. Meanwhile, the recruiting efforts continue, and the next 6 months should be really fun on the recruiting front for LSU. And right there in the middle of it, making it all happen, and it's been a while, and I feel bad about this, but our good buddy Jimmy Smith, Tiger Details, kind enough to join us. How have you been, James? What's up, my friend?
I'm doing well, Jordy. It's been a while, my friend. It's nice to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm terrific. I thank you for your time. I really, really do. I know you've been on the road and doing all the things that you do, but I've got to ask you, 20 commitments already with 6 months to go, LSU right there in the mix with Alabama, Clemson. You throw in a coin, you flip them around as to who's got the best class. How do you surmise what the job that Ed Orgeron and his staff have done to this point in time for this class of 2020?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he deserves all the credit in the world, him and his staff, for what they've been able to do. To have 20 commitments, and not only 20, but 20 of this caliber in June is pretty outstanding. And, you know, he promised this to LSU fans when he took the job. We're going to recruit the best players in the country. We're going to get the best coaches in the country. Those are all the things he sold, and it's kind of coming to fruition. You know, this is the first recruiting class he's had where he's been recruiting these kids since they were freshmen and sophomores. So he's no longer playing catch-up, and now it's really paying off. And it's what an impressive haul he's put together, and we're not done yet. It seems like there's a lot of other top prospects lining up ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, they've got five defensive tackles in the class that have already committed, and you got some big names out there, Jacobian Guillory, Jacqueline Roy, McKinley Jackson, to name a few. Heaven forbid, do they sign, if all those guys want to go, do they sign eight defensive tackles?
I think it's quite possible. You know, remember in their 3-4 front, when we look at their starting defensive lineman right now, Rashard Lawrence was a defensive tackle coming out. Glenn Logan was a defensive tackle. Those guys can play in that defensive end slots in these 3-4 fronts. And they really need to shore up that position group. They're going to be rather thin and young moving forward. Braden Fajoco's leaving after this year. Rashard Lawrence is leaving after this year. Tyler Shelvin might be one really good year away from testing the NFL waters. And there's not a ton of quality depth behind them. So he really needs a huge defensive line class. He knew that coming in. And here we are with 6-7 guys already in the books and more lining up ready to go. And with guys like Jacobian Guillory and Jaqueline Roy and McKinley Jackson, I mean, if those guys went in, they're going to take them. Those are phenomenal football players. And that's what they've been lacking over the years. That's the difference between LSU, Alabama, and Clemson over the last few years, in the trenches, and Ed Orgeron doing McKinley to share that up.
Jimmy Smith, we call him Jimmy Detail, Tiger Details, for all the information on the recruiting nature. What is this class lacking? Is the offensive line a concern for you?
It is a little bit. Marlon Martinez is committed from St. Thomas Aquinas down in South Florida. That's a premier program, a good-looking prospect. But there's really not a ton of offensive linemen in this group yet. Cameron Jackson, the kid that has committed initially as a defensive lineman, they're looking at him now as a possible offensive tackle. But that's an area they still need to improve on. But I'm trying to tell people the lows they've had at the tackle position in the past, it shouldn't really play that big of a factor moving forward because of this new run-pass option offense. When you run an RPO offense, you're run blocking 90% of the time on these pass plays. So you're not asking guys to kick step and pick up these speed rushers coming off the edge anymore. These guys are coming downhill, which really fits LSU's roster right now because they're really not strong on the bookends on the offensive line. So I don't see it as a huge need, but it's definitely an area they could improve on. It's probably one of the weaker groups in their commitments thus far. And they're looking, you know, far and wide to try to find those next couple pieces to finalize that group.
You like the quarterback position with T.J. Finley? What are your thoughts on him? That's a big kid, man.
Man, it's a big kid. And the way the ball jumps out of his hand, Jordy, it's impressive. And with his size and arm strength, naturally he's going to draw to Marcus Russell comparisons. Mm-hmm. From a physical standpoint and his ability, I think that's fair. I do think he's more focused and driven than Jamarcus Russell, so I don't really, you know, like saying comparing him to Jamarcus. But this kid, I mean, his arm is NFL caliber right now. The ball absolutely jumps out of his hand. It's a flick of the wrist, and he's throwing 50-yard darts downfield. He's every bit 6'6", 6'7", 235, 240 pounds. His mechanics have improved greatly from year to year during his high school development. As a result, his accuracy's improved. I think he's got a ton of upside and potential. And I'm at the LSU camp today, and I was able to put my eyes on Max Johnson, their other quarterback commitment, lefty from Georgia. And it was my first time seeing him in person, and he looks really good, too. So between these two, I mean, I think they're looking pretty good at the quarterback position moving forward once they get these two freshmen on campus.
And it seems like the quarterback position in the state of Louisiana is getting a little bit better and a little bit better. I see where, from the class of 2022, right there from St. Thomas More in Lafayette, Jamie Howard's son, Walker Howard, just got offered a scholarship by LSU. So it looks like the quarterback position's finally catching up with everything else.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see more innovative offenses throughout the state of Louisiana. Louisiana's traditionally, a lot of these schools have put their best athlete at the quarterback position, so you haven't had a lot of developed passers come through the ranks, but these days you see more teams starting to open it up. St. Thomas More is a perfect example. They throw the ball 30, 40 times a game. They're very active in 7-on-7, so they're developing their quarterbacks. And you're talking about Walker Howard, just to give you an idea at what's at St. Thomas More, he's the backup, and he's already got an LSU off. The kid behind him, Eli Holstein, who's a 2023 prospect, might be the best 14-year-old I've put my eyes on in a while. So they have three Power 5 quarterbacks all on one roster at one school, and that just kind of goes to what you were saying. You know, these quarterbacks seem to be developing more within the state of Louisiana, which in the end should pay off for LSU.
Jimmy Smith of Tiger Details. LSU's gone nationwide. That's what's been so impressive to me, that they're not scared to go out to California, to Baltimore, to Virginia, wherever it may be. Now the question is, can they close on these kids? And from all indications, it seems right here, right now, that they're in really good position.
They are. And this is, you know, LSU has a national brand. You know, they're a popular team. Kids from across the country really like LSU, but they've never really been able to capitalize on that with the prior regime under Les Miles. They really put a lot of their focus just on Louisiana and Texas, and maybe would pluck a kid from Florida or Tennessee. But Ed Orgeron is just trying to get the best players he can get. And when you're recruiting nationally like this, you know, a lot of those guys are coming from out of state, you know. So this is what Ohio State's done over the years when they put together some of their championship teams in recent history. This is what USC was doing when they were at the top. This is what Alabama, Clemson's currently doing. And now LSU's matching them low coast to coast. You know, I think they have three commitments from California, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
you've got
right.
a couple from the DMV, the Baltimore, D.C. area. You've got kids from all over interested in this program. So Ed Orgeron selling it, ultimately they're going to have to perform on the field. If they perform on the field this year, I think they're going to be able to receive those completely.
We're talking with Jimmy Smith, Tiger Details. Jimmy, it was a year ago today that LSU got a commitment from Derek Stingley. No question about it. The pick of the litter, the top dog in that recruiting class. If recruiting stopped today, and of these 20 commitments, who is the plum that LSU has in this group? The guy that's going to step in right away and play and contribute and has star potential written all over him.
I really like this receiver, Joaquin Jarrett, from the D.C. area. Really dynamic, explosive receiver. Isn't the biggest kid, 6 foot, maybe 180 pounds, but he's lightning quick. He just creates separation. He's dangerous after the catch. He's the new age of receivers that are kind of taking over football. It wasn't that long ago we were all talking about the A.J. Greens, the Julio Jones, the 6'4", 6'5", type receivers. Well, if you look in the NFL today and even in college football, a lot of the premier receivers are on the smaller side, and a lot of that's due to the rule changes. These defensive backs can't be as physical. They can't be as handsy with these receivers. So you have guys like Raheem Jarrett and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Antonio Brown, some of these smaller, quick guys that they just can't handle in space. And Raheem Jarrett is that guy. So with this RPO offense, with the idea of getting the ball out quickly into your playmaker's hands, I could see Raheem Jarrett being a dynamic player for LSU once he's on campus.
He is Jimmy Detail. How many more? I mean, they've got these camps coming up this weekend, as you mentioned. They've got the elite thing coming up next week. Man, does Ed fill up his class before the signing period? And can he just take a vacation?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. They're getting in a numbers crunch. They can only sign 25. They had 20. There's probably 6 or 7 more needs, so there's probably going to be a little juggling act here in the future. As commitments come in, they might have to maybe push some other guys out, which they haven't had to do in the past. So that's going to be interesting to see how those dynamics unfold. I'm with you. I think come signing day, they're just going to be sitting back watching and relaxing with all their commitments already on board. It wouldn't surprise me if by the time we got to the season, they were up to 22, 23 commitments. And we're still 4 months left till signing day. So they've been doing a tremendous job, and this class is filling up quickly.
Man, it's been too long. You're so good at what you do. I can't thank you enough, man. All the best. We greatly appreciate it, Jimmy. And let's do it again sooner, much sooner than later, please.
Absolutely. Always here for you, Jordy.
All right, buddy. You take care. That's James Smith, Jimmy Detail, Tiger Details, with all the inside skinny. He and Sam Spiegelman do a tremendous job keeping you up to date on everything with LSU football recruiting. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7 The Game.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Napa Know How.
Right now, get a 5-quart jug of Napa Conventional Motor Oil for just $11.99. That's a pretty unbelievable deal for a pretty unbelievable oil. But trust us, it's totally real, but only for a limited time. So get your 5-quart jug of Napa Conventional Motor Oil for only $11.99 today. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Limit 6 per customer. Offer ends 6/30/19.
The smallest moments.
Raymond Parch III here, host of RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Reminding you to tune in Monday from 6 to 9. We'll have a tremendous show for you. We'll be recapping College World Series out of Omaha. Who will be crowned champion? We'll also catch up with Jarrett Roger of TigerDetails.com with all things LSU recruiting, plus much, much more. So tune in 6 to 9 right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's Sports Station.
The Major League Baseball season is in full swing, and you know what that means. Astros weekend guys. Getaways, powered by Lafayette Roofing. Up next, the Angels, July 6th and 7th. Register in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance to win 4 tickets to each game, an overnight stay in the A-Loft Houston downtown, parking, and a tour of Minute Maid Park. It's the next Astros weekend getaway of the season. Register in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance to win. Powered by Lafayette Roofing and Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Getting a letter from the IRS that you owe back taxes can be scary, but it doesn't have to be. Call Go Tax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040 today. We'll help stop garnishments, levies, and seizures immediately. With over 35 years of dealing directly with the IRS, our team of local professionals will help you pay the least amount possible. So if you owe back taxes to the IRS, you need help. Call the tax professionals at Go Tax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040. Your go-to tax relief.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Friday edition. The Jordy Hultberg Show. 1037 The Game. 1037TheGame.com. As we take a look back at the week that was, and I welcome in our good friend and guest and friend of the program. By George, it's George Becknell. How are you, my friend?
Jordy, I'm fantastic, brother. How are you?
I am terrific. We'll get to what's really in your wheelhouse shortly here. But this week, when I think of this week, I think of Boom. I think of Hold That Tiger. I think of Ed Orgeron getting defensive lineman after defensive lineman. And the recruiting race just keeps on keeping on. This LSU football program, it seems like the Pelicans, all arrows pointing up, impressed with the recruiting efforts.
Oh, Jordy, I mean, with the Pelicans, man, I'm so excited. Like, I had no earthly idea that Griffin and Trajan Langdon and all those guys were going to come down here and do the job that they did. I really feel confident in this organization for the first time, pretty much since they came to New Orleans, man. They got some good value in the trade with the Lakers. Then they made that fourth pick. They turned that into some more good value. Man, I'm so excited. And I think everybody in the New Orleans area that's a Pelicans fan should be excited. Man, it's going to be an amazing season, an amazing couple of seasons.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. LSU baseball closed out. Florida State beat them. Florida State got beat in the College World Series. Your evaluation of this LSU baseball team, and more specifically the program itself?
Well, I mean, I think LSU's baseball program is still a very, very good program. I don't recall a time where it was kind of this light on the pitching. You know, I thought, especially in that last game against Florida State, I thought we would see Hess at least one inning, but we didn't. But, you know, LSU has to do a better job, you know, getting the pitching in and keeping the bullpen deep and healthy. Also, it was surprising to me. When you look at this LSU team, man, I remember the gorilla ball days, right, when it was just right. Tearing the cover off the baseball. Just, you know, you look at these guys, they play a little bit more small ball. You know, it's just different these days. They're still a very, very good program, but they're not as good as where they were at one point. So I still think it's a very good program. I still like what Paul Maneri is doing, but I would like to see them get kind of back on the upswing.
Do you feel like Paul is kind of falling into the same trap as a Jerry DiNardo and a Les Miles? His coaching staff, he's very loyal to them, maybe loyal to a fault at some times. That seemed to be the end-all to Jerry DiNardo's tenure. It seemed to be the end-all to Les Miles' tenure with Cam Cameron. Are you surprised when Paul Maneri said, probably no changes to our coaching staff?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I thought there would be some changes. You know, now granted, you know, they did have a very good season. You know, when you have a super regional, I guess that's something to be proud of. But it's not – the season was a little bit disappointing, and you have to make those type of changes – to get back to where you need to be. And I just don't know, like, when you talk about Jerry DiNardo, when you talk about Les Miles, those guys, you're right, loyalty ultimately did them in, but failure to change did them in as well.
As the
game changes, if Paul Maneri don't change with it, he can get swept behind. And I think he's a very good coach. And he has the keys to a top-tier program. But as football taught us, you know, it doesn't always stay that way if you're not willing to change with it. So, there needs to be some changes on that coaching staff.
I mean, George, Ed Orgeron, he's got it going on there over at the Tiger football complex.
Oh, absolutely, Jordan. If you think about who Ed Orgeron is historically, he's the guy that put together a lot of those, that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team. You know, you got the guy that sat down on Reggie Bush's couch and told Reggie Bush to go to USC. This guy's a master recruiter. And Jordan, I'm going to tell you, I'm so excited to hit his defensive lineman because the two groups that have stopped LSU from going from good to great with the offensive and the defensive line, and that's where we get whipped, especially in the first weekend of November. So I'm excited to hear Ed Orgeron getting all these defensive linemen. LSU is about to be a force to be reckoned with in the SEC in the year.
George Becknell, kind enough to join us. The NBA draft took place last night, and here on the local front, Tremont Waters selected by the Boston Celtics as the number 51 pick overall. Naz Reid does not get drafted. He's unselected. However, he agreed to a 2-year deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 2-way deal with the Timberwolves, rather. Excuse me. Meaning he's going to spend a bulk of the season in the NBA G League, not more than 45 days with the NBA team, and they're paid based on the number of days they play in each league. If Naz Reid could go back, do you think he'd go back and come back to LSU and forego the NBA draft?
I mean, I think he would. You know, I felt like with his athleticism and his size, he obviously has a very, very high upside. And I thought the NBA team would draft him. I thought he would be drafted before he came to Boston personally. So he has to be surprised that he did get drafted. So, yeah, he definitely would probably regret his decision and would be better off playing another season at LSU, developing under Will Wade one more year, and have an opportunity to get drafted the following year. Because, I mean, you don't leave school to just go to the G League. And, you know, you leave school to play significant minutes in the NBA. So he definitely should have stayed at school.
I think he got it in his mind from day one that he was going to be a one-and-done come heck or high water. LSU fed into that. They said he was going to be gone. They stroked his ego. and I think he got some bad information. He's not explosive yet. I think one more year in college basketball with a good weight training program, good dietary program with the discipline that's involved there would have done him wonders. I just don't see it with Naz Reid. I just don't. I think Tremont Waters, look, he's going to have to cut back on his turnovers. He's going to have to do that and have to improve on his jump shot, which I think he will. But I think Tremont Waters is a guy that's going to maybe not stick with the Boston Celtics forever, but I think he'll be one of those kids that bounces around here and there and can have a pretty nice career coming off the bench for an NBA team and giving you spot minutes here and there. It all depends on his attitude, his demeanor. You know, what's he going to be like in the locker room and on the bench? And that's a hard pill for people to swallow when they've been the focal point for so long. They're not going to be the focal point anymore. They're just not. But it sure beats working 9 to 5 for a living, doesn't it?
Oh, man, if I could play basketball for the rest of my life, for 20 years, I'd jump on that, man. They see the world, have all that experience, man, taking the best players. I would jump on that. So, yes, that would be working a 9 to 5. But I like Waters. I think he's just game similar to Westbrook. You know, he obviously is not as athletic as Russell Westbrook. To your point.
Wait. You think Tremont Waters is Russell Westbrook? What?
Well, what I mean by that is he plays at a high pace. You know, sometimes he plays a little bit out of control. But if you try to tame that affects who he is as a player. You know, that's what I see with Westbrook. Obviously, Westbrook is a lot more athletic. But I kind of see that on a smaller scale from him.
I got you. Okay. Did you see Fulton Street last night for the draft? You don't think there's NBA fans in that city? Wow.
Man, oh, my God. It was beautiful, man. Like, last year, I was going to get some tickets at the last minute to see the Pelicans for, like, $4 or $5. It's more expensive to see a high school game than the Pelicans last year. So, you know, to see that type of excitement and see those fans just there supporting the Pelicans and being ready for the season, it's beautiful to me. I think the Pelicans are going to rebuild this franchise and they're on the upswing. And I'm here for it, Jody. I'm excited for them.
Is there a more popular person in the Crescent City now than David Griffin? I mean, my goodness. He's been spectacular.
Well, he's top five. He's top five. I mean, he'd have to win an NBA championship or two to surpass Drew Brees and Sean Payton. But to your point, yeah, the job he's done so far has been tremendous, man. And I think the Pelicans will go be the underestimated team. If you look at their roster right now, they can make a playoff run and they can you know, do some damage. No, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Warriors or the Rockets or the top-tier teams in the West, but I can see them being 6, 7, or 8 next year with the team constructed as is, man. He's done a great job.
Look, they got rid of Solomon Hill's inflated contract.
Yeah.
They've got enough money where they can go out and get themselves somebody, and the sky's the limit on this thing. So Griff's not done yet, and it'll be very curious to see what he believes this team is missing at this point in time for him to go out. Would you be interested in an Al Horford?
No. I don't want Al Horford. Okay. And I don't want him because I don't want anybody to come in and stump Zion's growth. I want Zion to be able to do what he needs to do. Jordy, we need shooters. We need the young Jordy Hulkberry from back in the day, man. You know, guys like Kyle Korver to just come in and do nothing but knock down open shots. That's what this team is missing. Other than that, they got the talent everywhere else.
Pretty good week, wasn't it? I mean, here we are in the doldrums of summer, and we've got excitement because of the NBA. And finally, to your point, as you said earlier, it seems like for the first time since this franchise regained, this city regained an NBA franchise, that there is solid ground, that they know what they're doing, they're making basketball decisions, and it just feels really, really good. We've never had that, ever,
no,
with this franchise.
Ever. No, not at all. Because when Chris Paul got drafted, I remember people being this excited. You know, when they first came out, I remember people being this excited. But, you know, I feel like something's to be said to I know logo doesn't make a difference, but the Pelicans are ours. No, it's not Charlotte's. We didn't work in Charlotte. This is our franchise. This is our team. We're rebuilding from scratch at this point. And it's something that New Orleans can call their own, and I think everybody down there is excited.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Things were going smoothly. They had Chris Paul. They had David West. Tyson they had Chandler. Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic. I'll never forget. We were in Oklahoma City, and they announced that they were trading Tyson Chandler. And I'll never forget David West looking at me going, well, the fun is over. It's all a business. And we all got to watch out for ourselves now. And that was it. That broke it up. That's when Chris Paul decided, you know what? I've had enough here. I want to be traded. And that was a demise. And it just seems like that's so far long ago in the past. And finally, they have an organization that's got their head on straight. And they're making good, smart basketball decisions, not penny-pinching decisions. Basketball decisions. And, I just think... Man, between the two, between Dave Dixon Drive on one side is the Superdome, on the other is the Smoothie King Center. Man, I just think everything is is better than ever. I really do.
I can't think of a time where the Pelicans were at this much potential and the Saints were on the level that they're on currently in the same season. I don't remember that. I don't think it's ever happened.
I'm with you, George. Go get your season tickets, man. Go relax. Have a great weekend. We thank you for your time, man. Always fun talking with you, buddy. Be good.
Pleasure is all mine, Jordan. Take care.
All right, take care. That's George Becknell. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Man, whether you're traveling near or far, D.C.'s has everything for everyone in your travel party, including that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Best cheeseburger ever. Promise. Try it. Tell me it's not so. It is D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Birthday wishes on this day in history. We'll wrap it up next.
This is Ed Ogeron, head coach of the LSU Fighting Tigers, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station.